Muhammad Nabina.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7 is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone out there. Good morning to all our listeners. You are welcome to another exciting edition of Everyday Muslim, a program that dwells on our day-to-day activities as individuals, where we learn, unlearn, and relearn from our guests, while they shed more light on topics that pertain to us. Obviously, it is not meant for the Muslims alone. I am Rashida Aditun Okeolanio, and with me is...
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am Sakina Titilayo Okonu.
And we will be anchoring today's show together. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio 91.7 FM. For sponsorship and advert details, contact 090-555-586-86 090-555-586-86. Let's take a message from the Nasheed by Omar Essa, titled The Wedding Nasheed.
Assalamu alaikum. The day has arrived. You waited and prayed for that day, which would change your life. Your love's found a way on this beautiful day. It's the best day of your life. Inshallah, a day to celebrate, a special day with blessings all around. Let's raise our hands and pray to Allah. Barakallahu lakuma wa baraka alaykuma wa jama bainakuma fi khair. Ameen.
If you are just joining us, this is your 11 a.m. Saturday talk show program, Everyday Muslim, on 91.7 FM. Our topic for today is divorce, separation, and consequences. Our guests are ready to do justice to this, but before then, let's take today's quote from Sekina.
Today's quote of the day is coming from the Holy Quran, Quran chapter 30, verse 21. And of his signs is that He has created mates for you from your own kind, that you may find tranquility in them. And he has placed between you love and mercy. Surely there are signs in this for a people who reflect.
Wow. A great sign for us all, and for those who reflect. And that is why we are discussing today's topic, divorce, separation, and consequences. You are welcome back. We are still on Everyday Muslim, 91.7 FM. We would like to meet our guest now, and we have two doctors in the house. One will be calling in, and the other one is here with us. The common thing about the both of them is that they are both educationists. They both know what they are about to discuss. One is a counselor, professional counselor. And the other one is a sheikh. We'll be starting by introducing the first doctor, Dr. Ogunmuyiwa Sulaimon. Dr. Ogunmuyiwa Sulaimon Olagoke is a civil servant with 28 years of working experience with Lagos State Government. He is a director and head of Education Quality Assurance Services Unit in the Office of Education Quality Assurance, Ministry of Education. He is the lead counselor with M Solution Consulting International Limited. He has a bachelor's degree in guidance and counseling, a master's degree in both guidance and counseling and education administration. He got his PhD from the University of Abuja in Education, Administration and Planning, amongst others. You are welcome, Dr. Ogunmuyiwa.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Sulaiman Ogunmuyiwa.
Thank you so much.
Okay, the next person we'll be introducing, I think, is the network. He has joined us earlier. I guess it's the network, so we'll just move on. When he's able to connect to us, we'll continue from there. Dr. Sulaiman. Okay, before we move on, this program, to our listeners, is a very sensitive program. It's a very sensitive topic. It is something that a lot of people are looking forward to. A lot of people are confused. I would like to go in depth first. Let's have a little brief on what the program is, on what the topic is all about. You are still on to the program, Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. In a few minutes, the lines will be open to receive questions and comments from our listeners. Okay, now we have Dr. We have our guest. Is he in there? Dr. Ariadi? Okay. Dr. Ogunmuyiwa. As I said earlier on, that the topic is very sensitive. We have a lot of people out there that are confused. They are confused and they need an insight on this. The first question is, why divorce? What is divorce? Why divorce?
Okay, so thank you so very much. I thank you for bringing me on this show. I want to thank everyone that has made this to be possible. I quite agree with you that the topic is a very sensitive one, especially to women. Divorce and separation are kind of two confused words. In actual fact, divorce in some claim is equal to separation, and at other times, you know, separation is a step towards divorce. For us in counseling, separation is seen as a way to also find, to make couples find their feet and reconsider if they want to continue in the marriage. Loved ones who are in marriage start together with a lot of tranquility and excitement, but sooner or later that they get into the marriage, they start to see some things which are not pleasant to them. And because of things like this, because we are two different human beings coming together, when they now find they are living together unbearable, Islam gives us a way to say that if it is going to make one person or the other to lose his or life, then divorce becomes an option. It is something that is permitted by Allah, but it is most hateful before Him. He doesn't want us to do it, but we have found ourselves in a situation where people live together and they cannot cope. So they have to go either separate for some time or go their separate ways totally, and that is divorce.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ogunmuyiwa. I'd like to take a statistical estimate to justify today's topic. Statistically, the true divorce rate among ever married persons aged 10 to 85 years in Nigeria was 13.4%. Separation was 16.1%, and marital dissolution 29.5%. This suggests that about 3% of marriages in Nigeria end through divorce or separation. How can the negative consequences of divorce on children be mitigated?
Okay, so in Islam, our beliefs and principles that have been given to us by Allah are meant to support us to make mankind to live peacefully. Looking at some of the factors that usually lead to divorce, we realize that the impact is more on the children. Now, if couples find it difficult to live together and they want to separate, there are certain things they can do to, you know, mitigate some of the negative consequences of this divorce on their children. We must remember that children are usually the silent victims of any divorce or separation. And many of them are usually filled with guilt. They go through trauma. Some are confused. They even think of running away from home or to even commit suicide because of the situation they have found themselves. I met a lady about a month ago who told me that when her parents went on divorce, she was just in the third year in the university, and that was the time she started going into drugs, just for her to be able to, you know, contain the kind of trauma that she's going through. So when we have these kind of situations, I feel that parents or divorcing parents must be very honest with themselves and also straightforward in discussing what is going to happen within the family. Going your separate ways does not mean you are going to be enemies, does not mean you have to hate yourselves for life. In Surah Al-Tahrim, chapter 66, verse 5, Allah told us that perhaps this your divorce, if he makes you to go into divorce, it will substitute for him better wives, and or substitute for her better husbands, who will be submissive, faithful, obedient, repentant, who will worship fast, and whether they are previously married or whether they are virgins, it does not matter. Now, if this is the situation, then see your divorce as a way of moving to something better. At that point, then you have to sit down and look at the consequences on your children. You have to be honest and straightforward. At the same time, you have to continue to tell your children that you both love them, even though you are divorced. It is important that you emphasize this to your children so that even when they see you living separately, they still find love coming from the two of you. Secondly, is that you have to make these children realize that it is not their fault that you are separated. Else, they will have this guilt all over them. And finally, is that you have to make sure that you sit down to discuss how you want to care for these children, how you want to plan their future. You don't tell, the father will not say A, while the mother is saying B, and the children becomes confused. Or you start telling them to choose one out of the two of you, either in terms of who do you want to be close to or who are you supporting in this battle. This battle has nothing to do with them. They are just unfortunate that it's a product of the marriage. So you have to make life much more easy for these children.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Thanks. I think Dr. Salauddin Al-Riyadi has joined us. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salauddin. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, the network again. Okay. Let's go on. I hope the network will be favorable to him and to us so that he can join us and give his own perspective to the topic. Dr. Sulaiman, infidelity, lack of trust, lack of commitment, and barrenness were identified as major factors contributing to high rates of divorce in the country. How does our religious beliefs contribute to this?
All right, thank you. You have mentioned four factors. I want to divide these factors into two. I will take infidelity and lack of trust together. Obviously, the two are intertwined, and infidelity is one of the factors that can lead to lack of trust. And trust brings peace. As such, when it's difficult, when you cannot ensure that there's going to be trust between two people, when trust cannot be achieved, then marriage becomes extremely difficult. Now, Islam frowns totally against infidelity, and it is one of the factors on which basis that partners can seek for divorce. So, infidelity is not tolerated at all when it comes to marriage. If you find your wife engaging in it, or you find your husband engaging in it, is enough basis for you to say you want to, you know, seek a divorce. On the other hand, when you talk about commitment or barrenness, these are not very strong basis. You see, commitment can increase out of relationship. It's something you can improve upon. It's difficult to cope with infidelity, especially when it is, you know, repeated incessantly. Then barrenness, this is from God. It doesn't mean that because a woman is barren or because a man is barren, you know, they will not be able to go into marriage. It doesn't need to cause divorce anyway. If you take the case of Aisha, who happens to be radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got married to her at a very young age, and throughout the marriage or throughout her life, she didn't give birth to any child. And Aisha was one of the, you know, best wives of the Prophet, who had a lot of things to, you know, explain to us about our deen. So lack of commitment can be improved upon. Barrenness, you know, does not mean we must have divorce. But when it comes to infidelity and lack of trust, these are very strong basis on which, you know, separation or divorce can come.
Okay, thank you. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salahuddin. I hope you are here with us now. Can you hear us? Oh my God. Okay, Dr. Salahuddin, assalamu alaikum. Okay. Let's move to the other. You mentioned something about barrenness. There are some culture that it is not just barrenness. Maybe the wife has not been to give birth to a male child or something, and because of that, they believe that I need to have a male child that would succeed my generation, and that causes divorce. Can you tell us more about that?
Okay, well, I think it would be in extreme cases that would lead to divorce. Most of the time, those are some of the reasons that people bring up to go into the second marriage. But if it is so serious that it wants to lead to divorce, I think it is totally irrelevant, because whether your child is going to be a male or a female is not within the control of either the man or the woman. This is absolutely in control of Allah. And even from scientific perspective, we are told that it is the man that should even be held responsible if you continue to have either a female or a male child because of the XY chromosomes. I'm not a science student, but I know that from the elementary science that we have. But coming to faith, Islam does not have it written anywhere that if you don't have a male child, then you are not going to be remembered, or the family name is going to disappear. Or if you don't have if you have a female child, then that becomes a problem. It shouldn't be. Both male and female are recognized and accepted by Allah. And if they do well, they are going to be a great blessing for their parents in this world and also in the year after. So there's no basis for going into divorce because you continuously have a male or a female child.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ogunwiwa. In addition to the issue of barrenness, women should learn how to say their own story. They should learn how to be the hero in their own story. The wife of the Prophet, Aisha, that's why being a barren woman, we never know her in history as a barren woman. We know her as an inspiring Muslim woman who touched life, kept records of the sayings of the Prophet. We never know her as a barren woman. So if you are barren, please keep showing up and say your own story. Don't allow the labeling to define you as a woman. And may Allah grant the fruit of the womb to all those who are barren out there.
Amen. Dr. Salahuddin, assalamu alaikum. I hope the network is stable now so that we can have in on here.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes,
I'm sorry for this disruption.
There's no problem, Dr. Salahuddin. We all understand, and we are sure that our listeners too will understand how the network can misbehave sometimes. Yeah, we have Dr. Salahuddin Ariadi, who is joining us. He has joined us now. He's a lecturer at Department of Foreign Language, Lagos State University of Education. He has a diploma in Zulia Abiola College of Arabic and Islamic Studies, Abeokuta. I hope I got that right. He is also He is also the Mudir Zamzam Academy Ota. Dr. Salahuddin bagged a PhD Arabic Linguistic Studies, International Islamic University, Malaysia, amongst other qualifications. He is the author of many books, including Learn to Lead. So we are here to learn to read from him also. Learn to lead from him also. Dr. Salahuddin, you are welcome again to the show.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners. I'm tendering my all reserved apology once again. And especially, I greet my Sheikh, Dr. Suleiman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Salahuddin Hariyadi.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
So I said, I'm greeting everybody. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Doctor, there is a question that we put forward to Dr. Suleiman before you joined us, and we would like to hear your view on it also. How can the negative consequences of divorce on children be mitigated?
You see, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah continue to guide us aright.
Ameen.
When we are talking about divorce and we are talking about nikah, it is something that we need to really be focused about. You see, the consequence of divorce can be addressed through two things. Number one, by consulting the scripture, I mean by scripture, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by listening and adhering to all the conditions, all the principles laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll be able to achieve our aim. Secondly, by talking to ourselves, we need to do some things within ourselves without anybody telling us to do it or without considering what other people will say. I will start by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid down a lot of rules guiding nikah and talaq. It is better for us to try our best not to let the nikah be the result of our separation. I mean, we should guide away separation because it's going to affect our children. It will affect our children. So the first thing is for us to just manage that marriage. That is for the first advice. I know Dr. Suleiman will have advised, will have also laid emphasis on this, that we should try as much as possible to manage that marriage, because there's no perfect man and there can never be a perfect woman. And as by the time we know that, are you getting me?
Yes,
yes, we are with you. We are with you.
So if we are seeing some signals leading to divorce, the first thing that must come to our mind is what would be the fate of our children? What would be the consequence of this on our children? Because definitely the children will be divided, their attention will be divided, their future and their movement, their progress will be truncated. So that is the first thing. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns that we should not allow talaq to take place. In fact, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid down some rules and give us iddah period. The iddah period, that if you say you are not marrying a woman again, that woman should stay under your roof, under your control, enjoying your financial facilities for 3 months. And Allah said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُهُدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. Perhaps, if she's under you for 3 months, perhaps you may reconcile. For what? Because of the children. So if at the end of the day, we now discover that, okay, there's nothing we can do again, maybe because of the situation that a woman cannot bear again, and it could be a man that cannot bear it again, we now resort to divorce. Children are to be considered first. And how do we consider them so that it does not affect them? The father should not, because you are angry or you believe you are cheated or you believe you are maltreated by your wife, then you want to punish the children. No, you should know that the responsibility you were carrying when the woman was under you, when you were saying, I love you, she was saying, I love you. It is the same responsibility you have to carry when she's not under you again with your children. Even if the children at the end of the day maybe the court decrees that the children will not be with you. If the children are with her, the same responsibility must be carried. The care you are giving to them must be given to them. The money you are spending on them, you must spend it on them. You must check on them and you must do all your responsibilities. Otherwise, you will fall under the hadith of Rasulullah that says, Kafal mar'a ithman an yudayya man yaqut. The Prophet Islam said, he is a sinner. That man is a sinner. Who? He said, even if he's praying, even if he's giving zakat, even if he's half Quran, whoever is not giving the responsibility, I mean, the right of his children or his dependents to them. So if your children are not under you again because of the talaq that has taken place, you must spend on them, you must check on them, you must facilitate whatever they deserve, because you must not point of the dispute between you and your wife. And coming to the wife now, it may be that the children are under you. Yes, it may happen that way. And it may be that the court, or for one reason or the other, your children are under your husband. Regardless of what has caused the problem between both of you, you must be available. You must be available to check on them, or you must be ready to provide whatever they need for them. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, if the child is still breastfeeding, is still under weaning, you must have a kind of agreement between both of you. If the husband says, I want my child to be breastfed by you, then the husband must pay the wife. Or if the wife says, no, I am not ready to breastfeed him or her, then you should look for a nanny, somebody who is going to take care of that woman, I mean, of the child or the children, then you have to pay. So all these rules and regulations that Allah has laid down will assist us to arrest the situation, the consequence of our divorce on our children. And that's just by the way.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doctor. If, allowing me.
If you are just joining us, this is your 11 a.m. Saturday talk show program on Women Radio 91.7 FM. And our topic for today is divorce, separation, and consequences. Our lines are now open for calls. 0700 917 917. 0700 917 917. If you prefer to use the message, you can use this number, 0703175637. 0703175637.
Thank you very much, Sister Rashida. Dr. Suleiman Ogumuyiwa. Divorce is frowned upon in Islam unless all reconciliatory moves have been exhausted. Should a woman continue to endure an abusive and dysfunctional marriage?
All right, thank you. This is quite a bit relative and difficult question to answer in the general public. Let me clearly state that Islam does not intend or encourage an abusive or dysfunctional marriage. Abuse in marriage may be physical, when a man, you know, physically beats a woman, or a woman physically beats a man. It can be a kind of emotional abuse. It can be a psychological abuse or a financial abuse. Whichever one it is, the question is, should a woman continue to be in this relationship, or should a man continue to stay in that relationship? Now, this continuation is dependent on the concept of N3C, which is the need, the characteristics, the circumstances, and capacity of the people that are involved. What is the nature of this woman? Is she somebody that can actually go through the issue of abuse? Because we have different thick skins. Some people can actually last through it and see it to the end. Some do not even have, you know, the mindset for it at all. like during the time of the prophet, a woman came and said she would love to marry a particular man. Prophet Sam said, you can't marry him because this man is, you know, somebody that is stingy. And you are from a wealthy home. So if you marry him, he will not spend money on you and you will not be able to cope. So what is the circumstances with which you grew up? What kind of thick skin do you have? What capacity do you have? I always emphasize four fully structured, supporting structures for women who wants to leave their marriage. The first one is, do they have a kind of family support structure that can see them through the process? The second one is a financial support structure. How do you want to manage yourself financially? If you are a woman that is not working and you want to, you know, leave the marriage and, you know, start to fend for yourself, how do you want to go about it? You also need an emotional support structure. How do you want to support yourself emotionally? That is also followed with a social support structure. You know, if you have been in a marriage and you have caught up with all your friends, now you want to leave the marriage, you need people to also relate with. What structure do you want? How do you want to go about that? And the last one is what I call the PDP, which is the personal development plan. There's no way a woman will say, I want to leave a marriage without you having a development plan that is going to make your make your future to be focused and, you know, also set for you to be able to achieve. Now, these things must be in place before a woman can say she wants to leave a marriage. You just don't wake up one day and say you want to leave without adequate plan. And there are processes that you also need to go through. You know, like that we mentioned, Islam wants us to reconcile within ourselves. A lot of emphasis was placed on it. The Quran says that if you have reconciliation in your mind, both of you, Allah will reconcile you. But if you don't have it, then reconciliation becomes very difficult. So use your family to, you know, reconcile. Use your friends to reconcile. And also go to professional counselors to see if it is possible for you to reconcile. And if you have to leave the marriage, then make sure that you are ready to leave that marriage and you have the required support structure to see you through.
Thank you very much,
Dr. Salaudeen.
Yes, I'm with you.
Yes, I have a question here.
Okay.
There are some people, let me say women, they don't work. Their husband don't allow them to work. They are tired of the marriage. What do you advise them to do? They cannot sustain themselves if they leave the marriage, but they are not happy in the marriage. What should they do?
Actually, the best advice I would give to such a woman or such women is that they should consider what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended in bringing them together. Because there's no marriage that has taken place in this life without the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and without any reason behind it. That is the first advice. You see, at this juncture, I'm going to give two advices based on Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like doctor has rightly said now, that we should try and consider all factors that will enable us to stay in that marriage. One of the factors is that we should also involve some of our fathers and some of our parents that are interested in this marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبُحَفُوا أَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. That you should consider those that are knowledgeable, those that have experience. And that is why, you know, I'm not bringing us back. That is why you cannot just rush into marriage without considering some factors that Allah has put down. Like considering the parents, the scholars that will come to resolve issues when you cannot control it again. So these are the people that we have to consult for. But the second advice comes now. If you have exhausted all these efforts, you consulted your parents, the husband is adamant, is not ready to yield. You consulted the scholars. The scholars have also lectured him, they advised him, he's not ready to change. And you discover that this marriage, you can't cope again. That is why we have khulu. Khulu in marriage is one of the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to a woman. Just like divorce is given to a man, khulu is also given to a woman as an opportunity that, okay, if you cannot go continue with this marriage again, if a union is not bearable again, so it's not by force, by fire, you are not expected to die because you want to keep a marriage intact, because you want to satisfy a man, then you go for khulu. What is khulu? Khulu is for a woman to propose or initiate the proceedings of divorce. She will go to a lawyer, an Islamic lawyer, or you go to a court, Islamic Sharia court, and file a case that I am not enjoying this marriage again. I've exhausted all my human capacity and ability, and I cannot continue again. So then you go for khulu. And under khulu, a woman is expected to return the dowry, the mahar has collected from a man. You must pay it back. You must pay it back. Because during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wife of Thabit ibn Qais went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he requested that the Prophet dissolve his marriage with Thabit. Prophet sallallahu persuaded her, encouraged her, advised her that you should continue. She said, I cannot continue again. I can't bear this situation again. And the Prophet ﷺ reminded her that, do you know, you have to return the dua given to you, the mahar, the sadaq given to you. She said, yes, I know. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you remember that it is a big garden that was given to you as a gift? She said, yes, I know. Are you ready to give it back to him? She said, yes, I'm ready to give it back. Then the Prophet ﷺ ordered her to give it back to the husband, Thabit ibn Qais. And she did. And the Prophet ﷺ dissolved the marriage, and the legality backing that is in Quran chapter 2, verse 229, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا جُنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ. If a woman cannot bear a marriage again, she doesn't have any rest of mind there, and she believes that I have to move on. Let her do it properly by going through a legal procedure and give back the dua that has been given to her by the husband. So our advice is to be patient. And our advice, if you know you cannot bear it again, it is better you opt out. You see, some people kick against divorce or khulu. I'm talking about that. No, it's haram. It's this, it's that. It's like you are kicking against, surgery. If a doctor discovers that this leg, we have to amputate it. This hand, we have to amputate it. Otherwise, the whole body will not enjoy this life again. So you now say, no, don't amputate this hand. So that person will continue to suffer for the rest of his or life. So kicking against khulu or divorce at this level is like you are kicking against his surgery when it is necessary. So that is just my advice. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallahu khairan. We have a question. From what Dr. Sulaiman said earlier, obviously Islam does not tolerate infidelity. But we have a question here, and I would like to put that question again back to Dr. Salahuddin. It says, can you forgive a cheating wife that is proven with facts she actually cheated on her husband?
A cheating wife that we have seen clearly that she has cheated on that husband, right?
Yes.
Yeah, why not forgive him? If you see, it is optional. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that it is not right for you to divorce them just like that, unless when you see that they have cheated. That is Quran 65. Verses 1-7. Ya ayyuhan nabi idha talaqtum an-nisa fatalliquhunna bi'iddatihinna. Till the end of that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you cannot just move them out. Don't chase them out. You have to go through the procedures. But if you realize that they cheated, then you are free to either consider them, or if you cannot bear it again, then you let her go. So it is optional, but it is better for that husband to forgive. Huh. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive too. Huh. But the question is, if you forgive, are you not going to refer to that? Huh. Are you not going to take that against her? Will she be comfortable in that house again? Will you not refer to it, to the children and the environment? So if you want to forgive, you forgive and forget. You will not mention it again. It's just like a woman who has told the husband before the consummation of marriage that I am a virgin woman. But at the end of the day, you discover that she's no longer a virgin woman. So she started kneeling down, begging that please cover my nudity. I don't have any option again than to say that because I want to be under your control. I know the life I've lived before. So you are to consider her, forgive her for the sake of Allah. And Ar-Rahimuna Yarhamu Umur Rahman. That hadith says, whoever is merciful to people, Allah is merciful to them. In fact, you will consider her, forgive her, to the extent that you will not mention it. If you can bear it. And if bearing it will not backfire, will not be a kind of reference to her every time. She, you know what you do. You know what you did. She, you remember. You want everybody to hear. If it is that, then let her go. And let her seek for the forgiveness of Allah. Definitely Allah will forgive her. So that's just my advice. Wallahu a'lam.
Thank you so much, Dr. Salahuddin.
Yes.
Dr. Ogunmuyiwa, one of the major issues that leads to divorce among couples is incompatibility. And dating is termed haram, that is forbidden in Islam. In what ways can intending couples navigate this to avoid marital problems as a result of incompatibility or not being adequately prepared for a blissful relationship?
All right, let me clear this term, dating. If it is dating according to the West, then it is what is called haram. But if it is dating, which is the period between proposal and acceptance and the conduction of the nikah, for those period, it can also be called dating. Because at that time, you have a proposal from a man. If you accept that proposal, you start talking, you start planning. Now, the duration, maybe it is 1 month or 3 months or 1 year of planning, that is also called dating. But it is not dating as seen in the Western culture. Dating, according to the Western culture, means that a man can date 2, 3, 4 women at the same time. And after about a year, you now choose one of them. That is the person you now engage with. In Islam, the moment you propose to a lady, the engagement has actually started. You cannot be telling somebody that I'm still testing you. I don't know whether I'm going to marry you or I won't marry you. So that is the first clarification I want to make. Secondly, is the issue of compatibility. It's a very difficult subject matter. In my little experience of studying marriage, we have always asked the question, who and who is actually compatible? On what scale? Now, a reference was made about a woman who wanted to marry a man, and we said that man is stingy. And, you know, if you look at your own background, you came from a wealthy background, so it means they are not compatible. That is just one out of several other, you know, compatibility factors that we can consider. I'm still looking forward to, you know, those of us in the field of marriage to develop that compatibility app that you can just tick, 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 tick to see whether you are going to be compatible. Now, the first set of clients that premarital clients that are ever, you know, cancelled, dated for 7 years. And when they got into the actual marriage, they got divorced in 2 years. Meaning that dating, how long you have dated does not determine whether the marriage is going to be successful or not. What is important again is that we need to understand the concept of needs. There are different marriage needs that we have. For example, a man wants to go into marriage because he wants freedom. That's an example. And I have a case study. A guy who just left the university and has his mom and dad always calling him and his friends always making jest of him that you are my mommy. They're always calling you. Why don't you gain your freedom? Why don't you get married? Eventually, he went ahead to marry a lady who all her life has lost all sense of companionship. At age 7, she lost both, you know, mother and father. She was living with a grandmother at a point in time when she was 10. She was the one taking care of the grandmother and not the grandmother taking care of her. 2 years after, when she was just 12 or 13, the grandmother passed away. And they had to have a family meeting discussing who will she live with. And she could see how one uncle was passing her to another uncle, to another uncle, that no, she can't stay with me. I don't have this, I don't have that. Eventually, she struggled to go to school. Now she got married to this man. This man married because of freedom. Now she wants companionship. A week or 2 weeks after their marriage, the man was going to work and the lady had to call, "Hello, how far? Have you gotten to work?" He said, "No." Then after getting to work, the lady called again and said, "Ah, how far are you at work?" I said, "Yes, I'm at work." I said, "Anything?" He said, "Nothing. Just checking after you." After 2 hours, "Have you taken your breakfast?" "Ah, I don't understand. Why are you calling me?" He said, "Okay, don't worry. When I get home, we'll resolve this." So they got home and the guy told her that, "You can't continue to call me.
Oh my.
I didn't marry you because I want a monitoring spirit in my life."
Oh my God.
And you can see that the marriage needs are quite different.
Right.
Now, for us to be able to understand compatibility, we start from the first point, which is self-awareness. A lot of people going into marriage don't even understand who they are. If you don't understand yourself, you don't know yourself, how do you want your partner to know you or understand you? Now, when you understand yourself and you know yourself, then you know exactly the needs, the marriage needs that you want to put before the person that you want to marry. So, at that point, you know, when you have understood yourself, your husband also understands himself, then you put your marriage needs together and you see whether you're actually compatible. And you can scale this order by going for premarital counseling. I keep emphasizing on this. When you go for premarital counseling, it will help you to understand each other's needs and how you can give support to one another. This is not a case of introvert cannot marry introvert or extrovert must marry introvert. It doesn't work like that. There are so many other marriage needs that we really need to consider when it comes to compatibility. And again, you should not, you know, take away prayer from these. We have to be very close to God and tell God that I want you to give me a man that is going to be my husband. There was a case that I handled. The lady is a very stubborn lady, very stubborn lady. If she had married somebody else apart from my husband, I don't know how they would survive. But she got married to a complete gentleman. And, you know, it's over 13 years of their marriage and nobody, no third party has gone to their house to solve their problem. It's because they understand their needs and they know how to support one another.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sulaimon. If you are just joining us, this is still your Saturday talk show program, Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Dr. Sulaimon, before I move to Dr. Salahuddin, I want you to answer this question. I think this person, I won't say confused, but she's bothered. She said, "My husband married another wife outside the marriage. He said I should pack out, but he's denying he did not marry. What do I do?" Because of barrenness.
Okay, the question is a bit confusing too. I don't understand. He got married outside marriage. Okay, he's in a marriage. Or maybe you want to say he had another marriage secretly without our knowledge.
And she's barren.
And now, that wouldn't have been an issue. Now, it is not, I want to give this advice, it's not the best that you go and do a secret marriage without your first wife, you know, knowing exactly what you want to do. This can be very devastating. And I want every man to consider this. If it were to be your own daughter, that somebody would do that to, how will you feel? If you want to take a second marriage or a third marriage, why don't you follow the due process and ensure that you carry the first wife along, you know, to the best of, you know, what is practicable. Now, so in this case, the man got married to another woman and he comes back home, and because the woman at home is barren, he now wants her to leave the marriage and pack out of the marriage. I think, again, due process need to be followed. You just don't come home and tell a woman to pack out of the house. It doesn't work like that. It's just like for those of us who work in the civil service, they will ask you, "You want this person to be, you know, dismissed from service? How many queries have you given to this person? How many verbal query or written query have you given to this person?" So in the same vein, the husband need to come up open to say that, okay, this has been my challenge with this woman. I have reported her here. I have done this. I have done that. She's not changing. Then we now want to, you know, seek a divorce. It will be a total injustice for you to marry a woman secretly and now come back and tell the first wife to pack out. Again, I'm not going to do absolute justice to this case, except I have gained fair hearing to the man and to the woman. Detail of what has transpired between them. But on the face value, you can't just come home and tell a woman to pack out because she's barren for you to bring another woman into your house.
Thank you very much, Dr. Slaudi. Dr. Ogumuyiwa.
Dr. Salahuddin.
Yes, I'm with you.
Are you there with us?
I'm with you.
All right. Looking at the concept of the painful and popular Seki Uku experienced by women in some parts of Nigeria, can a Muslim man angrily pronounce talak thrice at same time to end a marriage? What are the steps for dissolution of marriage under Islamic law and teaching?
Okay, alhamdulillah. Before I go to that question, let me add to what Dr. Suleiman has just said about compatibility and all the points he has raised. I concur with him and I agree with him. I just want to call our attention to the second aspect of it. You see, when we are talking about compatibility, you talk about character and you talk about deen at the same time. See, some people are not compatible when it comes to religious aspect of our life. This one claims to be Ahlus Sunnah, this one claims to be Tariqah. This one claims to be Salafiyya, and the other one is claiming to be a Nesfat member. It's causing a lot of problems. I think when it comes to that, I'm not even talking about interreligious relationship this time around in case of marrying a Christian or marrying a Muslim. That is not what I'm even driving at. I'm talking about within the Muslim fold. Some people are claiming to be this and this is claiming to be that. It may happen that both of them, before marriage, were alu tariqah, or they were both going for maybe asalatu. But this time around, because the husband or the wife is attending a talim or halqa, he has improved in his religious understanding, and then the teaching of Islam has come to his way. He knows better than his partner. This should not be a problem. You cannot say because you are now informed, well informed about Islam, then you want to drop a sister that you have gotten married to each other when she did not know and you did not know. Why not assisting him? Why not assist him or assist her to understand Islam the way you understand it? We have a lot of cases in this aspect that people will say, no, he is not Ahlus Sunnah because you are not seeing a sister that's Ahlus Sunnah. Why not train your child, your own wife, to become Ahlus Sunnah? Prophet Islam selected friends for Aisha. And she made sure that she was the one that trained Aisha because he was the one that trained Aisha. He married Aisha as a very little girl, radiallahu anha. And Prophet Islam trained her and she became an authority in Islam. So when it comes to religious incapability, we should try to manage it. Now, coming to the question pushed to me, you see, we as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us scripture, and the scripture is Quran, the book of Allah that is guiding our affairs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that there's no issue that he has left undiscussed, unironed, unsolved, without solving it. There's no any issue. So if there's any challenges, we know that we want to go through talaq. There are four methods to do that. The first one is talaq that we are talking about. If it is talaq we are talking about, that is dissolution of marriage or repudiation of marriage. The husband is expected to pronounce that. Okay, I am not interested again. After considering all the factors that we have been discussing here now, I am fed up, I cannot continue again. In this aspect, scholars of Sharia divided this pronunciation or declaration into two. They divided it into two majorly. The first one is al-bid'i, at-talaq al-bid'i. The second one is at-talaq al-sunni. At-talaq al-sunni means all the declarations of dissolution of nikah that concur with kitab and sunnah. The husband is not expected to say, I'm not interested again when you know your wife is menstruating. You should allow her finish that menstruation. Then if you are pronouncing, she will still spend 3 months, like I said before. You cannot pronounce that I am not interested again and talak tuki, I divorce you. When she is pregnant, you should wait till the end, I mean, till the time she's going to deliver her baby before you can now say, okay, go. Now, if for a man who is pronouncing talak should be of sound mind. If you have noticed some inconsistencies in you, maybe intellectually we discover that you are having challenges, mentally you are having challenges, we will not consider that statement and declaration. After that is talak. Even this talak we are talking about, that is sunni, the talak bid'i, scholars of Islam categorize pronouncing dissolution of marriage angrily under talak al-bid'i. When you are angry and you say, I'm divorcing you. You are divorced. Oh, it's not considered because you are angry. So, and you know, if an angry man is angry, you know what he can do. So we don't, scholars of Islam say we cannot consider that. And the second one is for you to go through talak al-raj'i. A talak al-raj'i is when you have pronounced it and she's in a waiting period. The waiting period is 3 months, as we know. So she's still in a waiting period. You can discover, I mean, you can reconsider her. That's okay, I'm not interested again. Maybe by touching her or by saying it out or by having a sexual meeting. So that has distracted the talak you have pronounced before. Mm. But if at the end of the 3 months you now say, I want to reconsider you, then you have to go pay another dowry and consult her parent again because she has spent 3 months in that idda. So, thank you.
Thank you very much,
Dr. Salauddin.
Yes.
I would have loved to take a lot of questions, but you can. For other questions, we'll be answering them via our website, MPAC website. You can also drop them there. It will be duly answered. One last question, Dr. Sulaiman, before we close up, in 1 minute. How can a society and family unit ensure safe, happy, and successful marriages?
Well, that's very simple. Make sure that before you go into marriage, you go through premarital counseling. You are preparing the ground. The moment you are into marriage, make sure that you attend circles where you can always improve yourself. I'm happy to be on the same stage with Dr. Salauddin. We have a lot of halakha, we have a lot of usura, where people do ablution, teach salat, teach everything, but we don't have places where people teach marriage. So we have to continuously teach ourselves marriage, and we have to engage in activities that's going to help us to spice up our marriage. Going out together, you know, having fun, these are things that are going to make our marriage to become a very happy and joyful ones.
Thank you very much. We'd like to appreciate our guests, Dr. Sulaiman Ogumoyiwa and Dr. Salauddin Al-Riyadi. Thank you for coming up to the show. We would like to welcome those people that went to Hajj, our Ujaj. They are welcome back home. And we also wish others a safe trip back home.
Amen.
Thank you to our lovely listeners, and we hope that you enjoyed. You had a lovely time with us today. For more questions, as I said, move to MPAC website. And thank you too to Blessing and Michael. Until we come your way again next week, same time, same station. I'm Rashida Adetunwoke Olaniyo.
And I'm Sakina Titilayo Okonu.